Let's just open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the ability to come together and worship you this morning. Thank you that we have the opportunity to hear from your word. I ask that you would speak to each and every one of us. Help me to effectively articulate the message that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Our text is going to be in Mark chapter 5. And just to set the background here, just set the scene, kind of what's going on. So Jesus has been, his ministry is just kind of getting in the full swing. And, he's going around, he's healing people, he is casting out demons, he is personally training his disciples and teaching them. He has called all of them, he's teaching, he's training them, he's invested in their life. And he is preaching to the multitudes. And during one of these times where he's preaching to the multitudes, the people are gathering around him and they're pressing in on him because they want to be by Jesus. And he's bringing a message that is just, something they've never heard before. He's bringing them hope. He's delivering them. He's casting out the demons. He's healing them. And people want to be with Jesus, and they're, as he's preaching to these multitudes, they're gathering on him. So what he would do oftentimes is he would get into like a boat just offshore, and he would stand there, on the sea, and he would be able to preach to the people where they could see him, and he's not getting pushed and shoved around. And so during one of these times, that's what he's doing. And as he's preaching to the people, evening comes, and they send the multitude away. It's time to go home. And then he tells his disciples, We're going to the other side of the you set sail. We're heading to the other side of the lake. And so as they start heading across the lake, Jesus is laying there. He's sleeping. The Bible actually tells us that he's laying there with his pillow. You can see he's calm. He's asleep. He's had a long, exhausting day of giving. He's tired. And a storm of wind comes up, and the waves start to rise, and they start to fill the boat. And the Bible actually tells us that the boat was full of water. Which, if you've been in a boat and it's full of water, that's not good, right? You feel like you're sinking anyway. Whether or not you're actually going down, you're pretty close to it. And so the disciples, were afraid. They had fear. And which would be natural. I mean, any normal person, if you're in a boat in the middle of the lake and the storm comes up and you're sinking, I mean, fear is pretty normal. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So they run to Jesus and they wake him up. And they tell Jesus this: "Don't you care that we're about to die?" And Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind and the sea. And he calms the wind and he calms the sea, right? And then he turns to his disciples and he reprimands them. Don't you guys have any faith? And the thing is, Jesus had something to show his disciples. Jesus was going to calm the sea. He just wanted them to ask, right? But no, instead of asking, they accused him of not caring. And that was their lack of faith. Of course, Jesus cared. He was on the boat too. Jesus does care. And of course, we can look around ourselves today and, there's storms all around us, right? And the storms of life, for crying out loud, this year alone has brought all kinds of storms into people's lives. I mean, this has been an extraordinary year. And, we can blame cyclical weather patterns. We can blame all kinds of things. But the fact is, people's lives have been affected by all kinds of things around us. And at times, the world feels like it's sinking. Just this year alone, Australia lost 48 million acres to forest fires. The last estimate I've seen was 1 billion animals were killed in Australian forest fires. That's a lot. I mean, our entire west coast of the United States has been burning all year. The coronavirus and everything that's brought with lockdowns and all kinds of mandates and disagreements, of course, then it becomes political. And you just look around and we're like, wow, what's going on? And of course, our derecho we had, Iowa getting hit by a hurricane, that's not normal. I mean, it's happened before, but then you see all these things, they all happen at once, and you feel like, wow, there's a lot of storms going on. You know, we set a record this year for hurricanes that made landfall in the U.S. I mean, everywhere we look, we've had all kinds of things, abnormal things, but they don't happen, they've all happened at one time. But you know what? Jesus is still the answer for our problems. If we want our storms called, we turn to Jesus. I mean, he's still the one who calms the seas. But moving on, after Jesus reprimands his disciples, they continue on across. And I will tell you this, Jesus did nothing by accident. What Jesus did was always have a plan. And he had a divine appointment that he had to keep. And so he continued on their path, and they came to the shore on the other side. And you can see his disciples probably were still looking a little sheepish after being reprimanded by their Savior. And so they're kind of sitting there on the edge of the boat. And as they hit the shore, we're going to start our text. We are looking in, let's see, Mark 5. Probably help if I turn there myself. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and saw, and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it to the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had had the demons, and about the swine. And they began to plead with him and depart from the region. And when he had gotten to the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for you, and how he has compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. All right, so there are a few things I want us to learn from the story. There are many things in our culture today that have been directly influenced by demons, by the demonic realm. Our culture in America today, and really in all around the world, but for us, that's America. We look at our culture today, and the demonic influences in our culture is staggering. There are things going on in our world today that would just blow your mind away. And yet we sit there and we look at it, and it just keeps getting worse and keeps getting worse and keeps getting worse. And I tell you, those things are not from God. They are demonic. And the problem we're having now is our churches are following suit. Those things are coming to our churches, and we accept them as normal. In fact, today, this morning, I actually saw a poll this morning by the USA Worldview poll. And the poll today that I've seen, it just came out this month, said that 34% of evangelical Christians believe it is morally acceptable for women to have an abortion if that baby were to cause financial or emotional hardship. I mean, I was reading that thing, oh, it's going to be a life of mother or something, right? You know, because you always hear the argument. No, if it causes you emotional hardship, it's okay to have an abortion. That's 34% of evangelical Christians. 44% of evangelical Christians say the Bible doesn't say anything about it. It's ambiguous when it comes to abortion. That is disgusting. I mean, we hear these things and it's like, there's no way. But it keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And if you're claiming to call yourself a Christian and you think killing babies is okay, you need to have a heart check. And that's a fact. And the Bible tells us that doctrines of demons will fill our churches in the end days. They're here, guys. That's just a fact. Anyway, so there's some things that we can learn from this demon-possessed man to know what kind of activities, what kind of things the demons influence on our culture. I'm going to skip a few pages here. All right. Number one, let's just look at verse 3. Verse 3, it says, "And he who dwells in the tombs..." He dwells in the tombs, right? Jesus shows up on the shore. Some crazy dude comes running out of the tombs, butt naked, covered with scars, runs up to Jesus. Disciples are all still sitting there on the edge of the boat thinking, man, I'm not sure if we should do anything. I'm kind of feeling bad about getting reprimanded. And this demon-possessed man runs with Jesus. And the first thing we're told about him is he's living in the tombs. There is a culture of death that demons bring. It's a culture of death. I just talked about abortion. That's part of it. Killing babies is demonic. That's a fact. When we've murdered 63 million babies in America since Roe v. Wade has been passed, that is wrong. And now we got 34% of Christians thinking that's okay. That it isn't okay. But there's so much more to it. But we have this culture of death. You look around us, so everything's dark. And, I mean, we've got a holiday coming up, if you call it that, where you decorate by hanging skeletons. I mean, that isn't right. All right? If you decorate by hanging skeletons, think about it. Does that bring glory to God? No, it doesn't. It does not. It is a culture of death, and we as Christians have accepted so many things as normal, and it's not normal. It's against God. Well, let's keep going. What else do we know about the demoniac? He lives in the tombs. He's comfortable in the tombs with death all around. Oh, let's see. You know, no clothes. That's what we find out in Luke. He comes out naked. Mark doesn't say it. Luke does. He comes out naked. I mean, just look around our world today. The perverseness of our world, the lack of inhibitions, the sins that are all around us. You know, California passed a bill this year to allow pedophilia. It's just nuts. You know, a few years ago it was same-sex marriage, and well, you know, there is a slippery slope. The world just keeps wanting more. Satan wants to take as many people to hell with him as he can. And when the church starts to accept these things as it's okay, it really gets worse because there's no one fighting for truth. There's no one standing up against what is wrong. And then we allow our American culture to influence our theology. And America says, you know what, everyone's free to do what they want. Yeah, I agree. I like being free, right? But the government is also put in place by God to establish law and order. And those law, the law and order is supposed to be founded on God's principles. That's what our founding fathers did. And that's not what America is doing today. But we see around us this culture of just sin. The pornography is running rampant. They say right now high school kids are exposed to pornography 100%. 100%. And I'd have a tough time arguing that. Doesn't mean they're all addicted to it, but they're exposed to it 100%. And that's what the polls say. But this is the world we live in. The big thing is trafficking. You know, trafficking. Where do you think they get these people for the pornography? That's from the trafficking. And that is demonic. And if you are in active in that stuff, you are openly promoting trafficking and demons. I mean, straight up, just tell the truth. That stuff is demonic, it is against God, and no Christian should have any part of it. At all. No person should. We expect those who are unsaved and unregenerated, though, to act like they're unsaved. But then Christians deal with it. They do. A lot. Let's keep going. What else is going on? Oh, let's see. Oh, yeah. No one can bind him. He's kind of not a real big fan of law and order. Verse 3 and 4, no one can bind him. He breaks the chains. They try to chain him up and throw him in jail. Nope, can't do that. He breaks the chains. He runs away. There is movements in our country that are just straight up anarchy. Those are demonic. Anarchy is against God. God is a God of order, not of rioting. This is the way it is. And you can see these things. These are demonic influences, and there are churches that promote it and say these things are good. And it's not. That is not how you protest. That's not how you get your point across. I mean, telling me that you're making your point across by burning down stores and flipping over cars is not a good idea. That's, no one's going to listen to you. You're just causing problems. That is another thing that Satan loves: disorder, anarchy, no law. Get rid of the rules. Everyone do what they want. I mean, you look at the book of Judges. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. See how that went for them. Every few years, oh, here comes the new guys that make us slaves. And when you do this, you become slaves to sin. And slavery is not where we want to be as Christians. Jesus came to set the slaves free. He came to set us free, free from our sins, free from our transgressions, free to serve God. There are false promises of freedom in this world, and they all lead to bondage. All right, what else do we know? Oh, yeah, he was restless, roamed around night and day, couldn't sit still, couldn't do anything. He was always roaming around, couldn't sleep, had no peace in his heart. He was restless. Verse 5, he had no purpose. So often when we're restless, it's because we don't have a purpose to live for. Satan wants to destroy the reason we live. He wants to get rid of our purpose. He wants us to go through life and just exist and have nothing to be here for. That's his goal. This man, he was restless. He just roamed around night and day. The picture is painted as he's just tormented. He's cutting himself. He's just tormented. But he had no purpose. I mean, you think of restless being like my kids. Like my son, Benaiah, when he gets restless, he just aggravates. He just goes around picking on people. And you can tell he just needs something to do, right? Like, I mean, we've all been kids once. I'm just saying, my son's demon-possessed. I'm saying, you know, we know what restless looks like. This was this guy's life, though, okay? He just had no peace in his heart. He had nothing to do. And the fix for my son is, hey, go do something. And you give him a list of work to do, and he goes outside and he starts doing something. And guess what? It's cured. He's fixed. He has a purpose to live for. Go something, do something with your life, and the restlessness is gone. Well, what I tell you this today as a church, we all have a purpose, right? Like, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and saved you so that you could do good works. That's what our Bible tells us, that he saved you for a purpose. So we shouldn't be restless people. We expect those around us to be, but the church should not be. We should all have a purpose to live for. All right. You know, the self-harming aspect of it. This dude is sitting around cutting himself. You know, there's so many other ways that inflict self-harm. There's the, you know, turning to drug abuse, the alcoholism. There's all kinds of things. All kinds of vices that people can turn to that cause themselves harm because they have these huge voids in their life. You know, in his case, it appears that this was caused because of his restlessness. He just couldn't get any peace. He just tormented all the time. You know, and I know Christians that struggle with some of these things. And I'm not saying these my Christian friends that have some of these struggles with demon possessed. No, not at all. What I'm saying is God can heal them, though. And we need to turn to God. And any one of these things, some of us will struggle with. Probably all of us struggle with some of these in some order. In fact, I know for a fact that some of these things, they cause us pain. But Jesus can heal those things. He really can. You know, and maybe certain sins in our lives are never fully taken away, and that's in order to keep us close to God and seeking God and serving God and relying on God. But the answer is, those things aren't from God, right? Those things are demonic. The idea that of wanting to hurt yourself, that is not from God. That is from Satan. But this, at least, we can't solve something if we don't tell the truth about it. Those things are wrong. And I know it, so many people that are tormented with some of these things, especially young people. You know, latest poll I saw says that 25% of teens have considered taking their own life in the last 30 days. And then you add in the lockdown this year and the mental anguish that's caused so many people from being distanced from people. Some people are sociable people and need to have human contact and they can't. And you add that into it, and the drug rates are skyrocketing, and the people turn to alcohol is skyrocketing, and kids, teens, are having all kinds of problems because they don't have anything to live for. The schools have taught them that God doesn't exist, you have no purpose in life. Oh yeah, now I'm going to take all your friends away. And they expect people to be okay. They're not. People are struggling, people are hurting, and there are challenges all around us, and God is the answer to those. And lastly, there is an irrationality that comes. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody who irrationally does not want to hear the gospel? If you haven't, maybe you should share the gospel more. But it's true. What you're offering somebody is hope, peace, healing. No, I don't want it. All right? When we look at this, and if you listen to the words coming out of the man's mouth, Jesus, don't cast this out. Now, that's irrational for the man to speak. From the demon's point of view, yeah, that's very rational. They don't want cast out. What they say, don't send us into our torment, because they know the end is coming. The lake of fire is drawing near where Satan and all of his demons are going, and they don't want to go there too soon. So they made a bargain, and Jesus sent them into the pigs. That wasn't the man speaking. He wanted healed, but the demons were speaking through him. And sometimes the rationality that the world has is because of the demons. The influence of the demons in this world. is irrational. We look at it and we don't understand because it doesn't make sense. But I can tell you this, that man really did want healed. He really did want to meet Jesus. He really did want his life changed. And I don't know why the demons went into the pigs. I mean, I have no idea. I'm sure there's some meaning to that. I don't know what it is. You know, but the demons ran into the pigs ran off the cliff, and all died. I don't know what the demons went from there. The Bible doesn't tell us. But what I do know is Jesus healed that man. He took what was bothering that man, and he cast him out. Now, the story continues. You see, there were some witnesses. There are people watching, you know, the people watching the pigs, right? They're there. And they go to town and they say, "You aren't going to believe this, guys. This is unbelievable." And boy, it would be. And you can just imagine the story being told, these guys, the pig farmers, right? And they show up in town and they're like, "You got to come see what's going on." Some dude shows up in a boat. You know that crazy guy that you keep running out of town? Yeah, that guy lives in the tombs. He comes down to Jesus, and we're thinking, oh boy, this is going to be exciting. But no, he stops there. They talk for a while. Then all of a sudden, all of our pigs go crazy. We're talking hog wild. They run off the cliff, they dive in, and all of them drown. So everybody in town's like, well, this sounds interesting, right? So they all run out there to see what's going on. And they come to Jesus, and they see Jesus, and he's there. And this man who had been demon-possessed is sitting there at the feet of Jesus. And there's a few things that we can learn from this. You see, when Jesus comes into your life, there are some changes. And we see him there. He's sitting. He's not roaming around wild and crazy. He's sitting there at the feet of Jesus. He has peace. His restlessness is gone. When Jesus comes into your life has changed. You now have a purpose. You now have peace. That lack of purpose in your life, this restlessness that so many people dwell with, this "why am I here on this earth," is gone. Jesus gave him the answer. And he's there, he's just sitting there calmly with Jesus. Next thing we see is he's clothed. He's sitting there clothed. He got his clothes on. You know, we want to end some of these sexual sins in our nation. The answer is Jesus. It really is. That is the answer. There are a whole lot of people that need to meet Jesus. A whole lot. But that's the answer to our problems. You know, the government's not our answers. Money's not the answers. That's what the government fixes for everything. They just throw money on it. Throw money on it. That doesn't fix anything. Because the heart of the people is still wrong. Money's not the answer. You know, government's not the answer. You know, trying to do good things is not the answer. Jesus is the only answer. We want to end these sins. We need to share Jesus with people. That's the answer. It really is the only answer. What else was he doing? He's in his right mind. You know, he had his mind back. Simple as that. Thought clearly, sitting there with Jesus. For the first time, probably ever, he had his right mind. And he's sitting there at the feet of Jesus trying to learn what he can. We also learn that he wants to be with Jesus. As Jesus is about to leave, the man jumps up and says, "Hey, can I come with you?" He says, "No, not yet. I got something for you to do. You need to stay here and tell people what God has done for you." And that's the same thing he tells us today. When you first get saved, when you become a Christian, all you want to do is be with Jesus. "I cannot wait for the day I go to heaven to be with my Savior. But he has something for me to do first." And this is the same command that he tells every one of us. Right? Nope, you can't come yet. But what you can do is go tell everybody what God has done for you. And you say, well, you know what? I'm not very good at witnessing. I can't preach. You know what? I hate standing up here preaching. I absolutely despise public speaking. All right? That doesn't even matter. I believe it or not, I'm shy. I don't talk to strangers well. It's hard for me to walk up to people I don't know and talk about Jesus. And I imagine that just about everybody can be in the same boat. But here's the thing. You don't have to be some great, wonderful preacher. You don't have to be a Billy Sunday to go share the gospel. What you have to do is tell somebody your story. This is what the Lord has done for me. Everybody likes a good story. Just get good at telling your story. This is what Jesus has done for me. I was this way, now I'm this way. Praise God. God has done this in my life. Praise God. That's what we need to do. Just tell people your story. That's how we witness. Because why? The whole world is full of people that are hurting, people that need hope, people that want to live for a purpose, that have a reason to be on this earth. And we have the answer. All you have to do is just share your story. We want to see all these demonic things in our society go away. We need to lead people to Christ. And the answer is right here. Go tell people your story. What has Jesus done for you? And when he does that, what's it say? It said that everybody was amazed. Right? They were amazed. Holy cow. It doesn't say they all believed, but it said they were amazed. Dude could at least tell a good story, right? Why can you tell a good story? Because it happened to you. When you tell a personal story, it's always with so much more passion, almost more excitement, so much more believability. You know, of course, the people around the immediate vicinity, you know, they knew what he was before. And this was a crazy guy, right? Like, everybody knew who he was. The dude lives in the tombs. Like, if I had a guy that lived in the cemetery, everybody would know who he was. You know? They knew who he was, and then his life's not the same. And they say, what happened to you? Well, let me tell you. I was this way, I met Jesus, now I'm this way. There you go. And they say, wow, who's this Jesus guy? But we have another group of people. The people from the town. The people from the town, they came out there and they met Jesus. They didn't like what they saw. They didn't have Jesus. And they didn't want Jesus. Jesus ruffled some feathers. Right? We kind of like what we got going on. We like this life of mediocrity, of no purpose, of living for nothing. That's basically what they were saying to him. We like it. They come out there and they see Jesus and they see the man sitting there at his feet. The man who had been formerly demon-possessed and is now healed by Jesus and is sitting there. And they see him and they say, Jesus, get out of here. We don't want you here. And they were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because they didn't want to lose what they had. They thought they had it figured out. Sure, that guy needs Jesus. He's a crazy guy. You know, sure, religion helps those weirdos. Sure, it's a good crutch for some. They didn't want it. They didn't need it. That's what they thought. We don't need Jesus. See, so often we think the answer is something we can do. They were good enough. You know, they had this crazy guy. Sure, they tried locking him up and he would run away. You know, that's always the answer that the world has for sin. Lock it up. Get away from us. If we can't control it, get it away from us. But they never fix it. You know, and so often people think they can fix the problem. You know, you do the right things, you fix the problem. You believe a certain way, you fix the problem. You create your own man-made religion, you fix the problem. But you know what? It doesn't fix the problem. And these people's life was nice and peaceful. They didn't want to give up who they were and what they were doing. Sure, it was one thing for this guy who had nothing, this crazy dude. Yeah, it's easy for him, but no, we don't want that. Nah, we like to keep our pigs. We don't need that Jesus guy. And so these guys, they told Jesus, get out of here, we don't want you. And they went back to town. So, in closing, we got a few questions to look at. Number one, it's not really a question, more of a statement. Number one is this. There are certain of these activities that each and every one of us probably struggle with from time to time. There are times when we don't have a sound mind. There's times when we are restless. There's times when we have depression. There's times when we inflict harm upon ourselves. There's times, you know, go down the list. There's times that we have a perverted mind. There's times that probably each and every one of us struggle with some of these things. You know, the old nature's still there, right? Even as Christians, we still have the old sin nature. Pops his head up now and then. And there's certain things we struggle with. We have to be on guard and keep ourselves away from certain temptations. But Jesus can forgive us and he can heal us. And we need to keep turning to him. And we can't forget that Jesus saves people. Jesus came because we are sinners and we need him. I mean, we look around at all the sin and some of the things that we have done in our past are terrible. But Jesus forgives us. That's why he came. I mean, just think of this demoniac. This guy is nuts. He had 1,000 or 2,000 demons living in him. You can't imagine probably all the wickedness that this man had done. Jesus came to save him. I mean, there's nothing that we do that Jesus won't forgive us. Right? That's why he came. Jesus came to die for our sins. We just have to actually acknowledge that there were sins and accept his gift. Accept the forgiveness. So we should never live in guilt of our past. We should live in thankfulness that God can save us and change us. You know, and if Jesus, you know, he can calm the sea. You know, he can stop the wind. He can cast the demons out. He can heal the people. He can give you purpose and a hope. You know what? And he can change your life. He really can. And we can look at Jesus and say, you know what? I have a hope and a reason to live. And the purpose is the same for all believers. Go share your story with somebody else. And it is a shame at how few of us actually do that. Our story is to be told. Share it with Christians. Share it with your parents. Share it with your kids. Get used to sharing it. There is a few things I love better hearing than somebody's testimony. When somebody comes up and tells me their testimony, I'm already a Christian. They're not trying to get me to be saved. It doesn't matter. I love hearing people's testimonies. It's great. It's encouraging. And we should be blessing each other with sharing our story. And I look around our church, and there's very few people I've shared my story with, and there's very few stories I've heard. And that shouldn't be. We should share our stories with each other. Let's encourage each other. We all have something to say. We all have a story to share. We've all been saved by the blood of Jesus. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. But now, the question is this. Going forward, which one of these people are we, right? Are we the crazy demoniac, full of demons, agent of Satan, living against God? Or are we the man who was healed by Jesus and those demons are cast out? Or are you this group of people over here that come, they see Jesus, and they're like, nah, we don't need you, Jesus. We can figure this out on our own. You know, who are we there? Or are we the disciples of Christ who are still sitting in the boat? Sure, we mess up. We get reprimanded from time to time. But we're there to serve God. You know, where are we? Where are you? Who are you? Which one of those people are you? And that's the question that I want to leave you with so that you can examine your own heart and say, you know what? I need Jesus. Or you know what? I'm already saved, but man, you know, there's some things. I need to give to my God. I don't have it all figured out. Don't be like those town people who went back, rejected Jesus, and said, no, don't need him. And just because we've accepted Christ and we're saved doesn't mean that we still don't make that choice all the time. Do we need Jesus? Because I guarantee you, you're still sinning. And we do need Jesus every day. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the story. I ask, Lord, that you would help us to apply this to our life, that we could make the appropriate changes necessary, and help us all to seek you and to love you and to get better at sharing our stories. In Jesus' name, amen.